Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 22nd of March, recording at 9:10 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today, and actually it's quite a quiet day. Asian stock markets were a little higher for the most part. The big gain was Japan, which was closed yesterday. Nikkei was up over 400 points. That was 4.36%. European stock markets were mixed, small gains and small losses. And ditto on Wall Street, although we saw Mexico and Brazil, which have both underperformed recently, saw them bounce back a little bit. Wall Street closed a wee bit easier. Higher crude oil prices might have been a factor there. NYMEX is up to 105 as I speak, and Brent is back up over just around the 115 level. The dollar is, again, quiet, but mixed. Following its recent weakness, not much going on here today. Precious metals are quite quiet. The grain and bean complex had been easier earlier in the day and then closed with small gains. Among precious metals, actually, I should mention silver because that remains the firmest by far and is at 36.39. So it's been right up, hovering right up around those highs within the trend. And gold bullion, as I speak, is at 14.28. The industrial metals were mostly a little firmer, nickel being an exception. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, it's more of the same. The operative word is choppy. Most markets are ranging during this choppy phase, and they have held up tolerably well given the triple waterfall events that I have described as black swans. First, the moderate spike in the oil price caused by the Middle Eastern uprisings. Those have not been situations have not been resolved, and certainly the Libyan situation. Yesterday's optimism replaced by a bit of uncertainty here in terms of how this is actually going to play out. And then, of course, we had the Japan problems. And while Japan will rebuild, we have Fukushima nuclear power plant problem, which appears to be contained, but it is also leaking some energy, and so that's a problem here as well. Okay, and on top of that, or before that, I should say, we had pretty strong gains for stock markets. And that inevitably leads to some reaction and consolidation. That began first with the Asian markets and the South American resources producers. It has occurred or been occurring more recently with the European stock markets and also with Wall Street and Canada. And I think it's going to continue for a while longer. As I've said on many occasions, you know, you'll get periods in stock markets where performance is really strong. We get self-feeding trends, and then that inevitably gives way to a loss of momentum and corrections. And that can go on for a number of months, depending on events, and then gives way to another run, which I think will be on the upside, because I maintain we're still in a overall bull market environment here. But I would expect, as I say, more of the same in terms of this choppy ranging overall. Crude is the crude prices are the really crucial factor here. Another push up to new highs beyond what we saw earlier in the month would definitely unnerve stock markets, in my opinion. And they're closer to their highs than I would actually like to see. I think one of the reasons for that is that investors have been moving back into those tracker funds, and I maintain that's not a terribly good idea. We actually have those tracker funds in commodities that were never meant to be investment assets. Okay, now we also have this high degree of commonality continuing. Well, it's certainly been very evident in here in the last few days. We don't always get that, but it's the norm more often than not. In other words, when stock markets go up, a number of commodities go up, and vice versa. And why do we have this correlation? And I'm not so happy attributing it to the risk on, risk off banality. My feeling is that it's got something to do with the high frequency trading, though, which views everything as much the same. That doesn't make any difference for long-term investors, in my view. We approach long-term investing in a different way from trading, but it does mean that it does affect the trading opportunities somewhat. Either you're spoiled for choice, or you need to be, or suddenly things turn right around, and everything's not working out. Or you need to flip the position over and go from long to short, which is not such a great idea unless one's really, really hovering over these markets. Most traders, I think most Fuller Money subscribers who are traders are really more interested in trend running, and I certainly am. But it's right now with these choppy ranges, this is not a good time. So it's for trend running, it's better to keep a reasonably low profile. Now, among developments though, that I want to mention in terms of the future, you will recall that Fuller Money, as soon as we began to read about the shale gas developments in the United States, we called this a game changer. And that goes back into, I think it was, I can't remember whether it was the third quarter or the second quarter of last year, or earlier. Again, we maintain that shale gas is very much a game changer, because this is an immensely important source of fuel that, due to advances in technology, can now be produced and produced relatively cheaply. And yes, there are some environmental concerns. There are environmental concerns about all aspects of mining, and the miners need to be sensitive to this with the help of some sensible legislation. And for the most part, that's what we have. But not to diverge from the main theme here, natural gas, I beg your pardon, yes, natural gas, but it's the shale gas in the United States, has enabled U.S. energy prices to be lower than they are throughout most of the world. This is technology that's been developed by the U.S. And lo and behold, as we've known in recent weeks, they've done it with shale oil as well. And there is even more shale oil around than there is shale gas. And the U.S. is reported to have, the figures are all ballpark on this, but I got before me an estimate that the U.S. has 1.5 trillion barrels of shale oil. And again, technology has come along, or people have developed the technology to extract this relatively cheaply. And I was quite astonished to see yesterday that Israel has huge quantities of shale oil. I mean, really estimated about 250 billion barrels. Now, when you think that Saudi Arabia's declared reserves are about 10 billion barrels higher than that, 260 billion barrels of oil, it shows how large this shale oil deposit is in Israel. China has large shale oil deposits as well, so does Russia. So there's a lot of this about, and I've been writing about it a little bit more today. We've been writing about it a lot over the last few months. But the way I see it actually shaping up is that we know there are risks to the oil price in here today. Just look at what's been happening in the Middle East and the moderate spike, as I've called it. Now, those risks are going to stay with us for a while. But fast forward in time, about 10, say 10 to 15 years, and I think the world's going to be awash in oil and gas. And that's something that would have been a pure fantasy in terms of our thoughts, say 5 or 10 years ago, because all the talk was of peak oil. And Owen and I again define peak oil in terms of the average cost of production for conventional oil. But the speed with which the shale gas, which has been around for as long as other forms of gas, but was something that just could not be produced, and also the shale oil. Now that they're producing this is really going to transform the world in terms of energy. I feel, for instance, that say 10 to 15 years from now, that the price of crude is likely to be lower than it is today in real terms. I wouldn't necessarily say the same about gas, because gas is already quite cheap. But oil to be lower in 10 to 15 years' time, in real terms, I think that's quite probable. Now, if so, cheaper oil, cheaper energy would virtually guarantee the growth super cycle that we've talked about, and that Gerard Lyons wrote about for Standard Chartered. So that's really quite an interesting and promising future. Although people will say, well, we don't have enough resources, and well, provided the weather isn't too unstable, we can supply the food, and we continue to extract more resources. But and there is going to be, as a plenty of energy around. Now, therefore, it would take some sort of exogenous climactic event of biblical proportions to really derail the global economy. And we can all come up with scary scenarios of what that might be, from a doomsday rock to a major war. Well, doomsday rock, statistically low probability. The major war, well, we ought to have the common sense and wit to avoid that. A lot of people fear that it will be global warming, or a more turbulent climate change, whatever its causes. And so they might, a lot of people who are concerned about carbon dioxide emissions from fossil fuels will not be thrilled to see this great increase in the reserves, tappable reserves, exploitable reserves. Well, then we really do need to keep pushing ahead with the nuclear fuel energy. So I think we're going to get all of these sources of energy. I think some of them are really expensive duds, wind power, for instance. And solar ought to have potential, but really for the green non-fossil fuel forms of energy that really do work, it's nuclear, I think, all the way. And the Fukushima incidents are not going to change my mind on that, although I have existing concerns. I had prior concerns prior to Fukushima and concerns about the 30 to 40-year-old nuclear power plants, but the ones that are available here today are one heck of a lot safer, and so I hope we see those upgraded and expanded, and including a lot of quite small reactors. So I just wanted to mention that point because people are worried about the Middle East, they're worried about what's happened in Japan, and all understandable. They're worried about the state of the U.S. economy. Just think, out there down the road, it's not all available today, but the technology is there, and these resources will be developed. An energy bonanza. That's good news that no one would have dared to hope for a decade ago. People would have said, "What's he been smoking?" Well, I've never smoked, but I read these interesting articles, and I'm posting some more of them today. All the best.